Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Episode 4. We got Chimers in the background.
Yeah, I was going to say.
We do things on the fly here. That's how it works. Not much we can do during this quarantine. It is I, Joseph Crush, along here with my three wonderful, beautiful co-hosts. First, we got up Nick Jersey DeMonte.
I'm down here at the Performance Center. If you can see me on camera, we're at SmackDown.
I see that. It's beautiful.
SmackDown Live.
You somehow missed SmackDown last night, though. Pretty weird. Tom Bad News Canale, how's it going?
Yeah, pretty good. How about you?
Doing all right, man. Hanging in there. Day by day. You know how it is.
Yeah, exactly.
And Nikki, I'm always on my phone, Noodles Galeotto.
What's up, gentlemen?
Just trying to bring the best quality to our podcast here.
Give you a little background music. This is a little bit of Drew McIntyre right here.
Yeah. Just, you know, that raw, you got to have that raw reaction. I'd be remiss to say, we have to talk about it. I know everyone's bringing it up, but a big congratulations to Becky Lynch and Seth Rollins on the announcement of her being pregnant.
Lucky guy.
Yeah, I would say so.
We heard the rumors over the weekend. It was kind of the way they presented it was pretty cool. A lot of emotion going into it.
I mean, I did call it, right? Didn't I just say it in the group text? I said, hey, there's a big announcement. I said, she's preggers, right?
Yeah. I think Tom had said something like that too, maybe.
So well, Tommy's on my same page with me. Yeah. He's my buddy.
You guys are my inside sources, so I take everything you say for real. The way they presented it on Raw was pretty cool. Like I said, they ended up the Money in the Bank match ended up being for the belt and not for the contract, which is cool for Asuka, now the reigning champion. My main question is, congrats to them. Cool, they're getting a baby. What does this mean for the women's division going forward? Becky was such a big part of this current roster of women. Now she's gone for who knows how long, or if she ever going to come back. So I like to think that we get another woman step up, contribute to this division, maybe like a Ruby Riott or someone like that, or Liv Morgan, maybe get that extra push. Jersey, where do you see this division going from here? Hopefully with positives, no negatives, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know what? At the end of the day, right, it's next person up, or in this case, next woman up, or in Becky's case, the man or the mom. You know, I think it's a good thing, right? There's a surplus of women, as you can kind of see, that are kind of in that second tier of women, but they just haven't had the chance because of Becky's and Charlotte's and so on and so forth. So if you're asking me giving a name... I think Dana Brooke you're going to see a lot more of her. I think Liv Morgan, you're going to see a lot more of her, which I'm perfectly fine with. I think they're both good athletes. And I think with a little bit more time, Sonya Deville, I think, is stepping up week after week. So I'm not nervous per se. I mean, it's going to be missed a little bit when you have a heavy hitter kind of go down.
Yeah.
But I think you're going to have by women by committee kind of going to pull the ranks up.
I agree. Tom, what do you think, bud?
Yeah, I was going to say, excuse me, that look out for Dana Brooke, because I really think they're going to push her now, because the last couple of weeks she's had some big wins and everything, and she had kind of had a moment in Money in the Bank, even though it was a joke, you know, the whole Stephanie thing, you know, getting the fake briefcase and whatnot, but I really do think they're going to really give her a shot now with everything, and maybe Liv also, you know, they've been pushing her a lot too, but I think Dana Brooke's the one that's really going to not take over from Becky, but I think we're going to see a lot more of her, so...
I mean, look. I mean, Joey, they brought back the Iconics this past week on Raw.
Finally, right?
Yeah. You know what I mean? You like that?
Oh,
no, I do. Who doesn't like that?
I think I honestly, but it's like I guess I know under certain conditions, like with the current roster, like in whatever the situation is, we haven't seen much of the women's tag like titles. I knew like Bliss and Nikki Cross had it, but like I forgot about them almost. And yeah. I know you can't have everyone on the roster there, so it's kind of limits what they can do. But just to bring another tag team back kind of refreshes, like, what we could do with that division. But, Nick, what do you Noodles, what do you think?
Well, it's definitely a tough loss. I mean, anytime you lose a superstar of Becky Lynch quality, who's been such a mainstay in the division and actually helping bring the women's wrestling into a kind of a new stratosphere, it's definitely a tough loss. But there are plenty of talent there that can that can be created, that can be used properly, and you know it'll be all right. They'll figure out ways to work, and like Liv Morgan, Dana Brooke, like they're all getting pushes and stuff like that. So there's plenty of talent, I think, to overcome her loss for a while, and hopefully she does come back. You know, as time goes on, it'll be a an extra boost. But if she doesn't, you know, the show's still got to go on, and someone's got to step up and take the reins.
Yeah, I agree. And after,
Joey, is Sasha Banks hurt? Do we know if she's hurt right now, or is she kind of playing the valet role?
So last night, they on SmackDown, actually Charlotte appeared, and she cut a decent promo with all three of them. She's kind of like trying to divert Sasha away from Bayley, saying Bayley's using her as a stepping stone, where her and Charlotte and Sasha were the ones that main evented all this stuff. They started off in the beginning. And it maybe some signs of dissension between the two. I don't know what her current status is physically, but I hope this leads to some sort of feud between them, because I think we've been waiting for that for a long time, where it's like a legit feud.
She's gotten into it though a little bit lately, right? Like with some people like Tamina and stuff like that. So I don't think she's
I think
hurt,
she's okay, you know, but she's not I think they had a tag match, a SmackDown before.
Yeah, so I don't know if she's like, maybe she's got something minor going on, but I don't think it's anything major.
Yeah, No, you're good.
No, I was saying that they're doing like that, they're cross, you know, with the brands and everything, they're crossing over. Maybe now we'll get more of, you know, women coming from SmackDown, the Raw, NXT, et cetera. So, you know, maybe fill that void. So,
yeah, well,
is not too far away from being a mainstay on the roster that could really fill a lot of shoes as well. So,
I don't know if you guys heard. I read a little report that they are going to do something like the wild card, just not the wild card rules per se. So I think we might see some brand crossing. So good point, Tom, on that one.
Yeah, they had brought that up last night. I kind of missed the exact rules of it, but I think during this time, you kind of need, with when you can't have the full roster around, people are like getting upset about it and like, oh, we're getting bringing back the wild card rule, because you know the first time around it kind of flopped a little bit. But I think what's going on right now, they need the option to bring over certain superstars to both shows, like AJ being a part of the tournament, which we'll get into for the IC title. But what next I want to get into before we go into the week and everything else that's coming on, we are 1 week removed from Money in the Bank. We had an Otis winner of the men's briefcase. Asuka won the women's.
Didn't see that coming.
Yeah, crazy.
I don't think anyone did.
Braun beating Bray, Bayley beating Tamina, a solid good matches. New Day retaining the tag titles. Tom, what's your biggest takeaway from this event that we got there?
I mean, it was definitely different with everything, especially the Money in the Bank matches. Obviously, you know, being at the headquarters and everything. I mean, it was pretty funny seeing Vince show up, Heyman, Doink the Clown made an appearance, which was pretty funny.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, for me, you know, we usually say, you know, Money in the Bank's like a big event, but obviously with the circumstances, everything going on, I kind of felt it was like a filler this year. I mean, obvious reasons. But overall, it was I felt it was a one good match. I'm drawing a blank. Jesus Christ.
What was it? Drew and McIntyre?
Rollins
and McIntyre?
Yeah. That was definitely the match of the night and everything. And, you know, overall, it was a decent pay-per-view, so. Considering everything.
Noodles, what do you got?
I just think everyone might have different feelings on it, just because it went such a different direction that anyone anticipated. You know, you had Otis winning, you had Asuka winning, and all of our picks were much different than those outcomes. You know what
Absolutely.
I mean? So given the circumstances, it was entertaining. It makes you have a little bit of vested interest in what they're going to plan on having going forward. They did the best they could given the circumstances, and it was also kind of a little bit of weird feeling how they were pretty strict on the schedule, where it was a pretty short pay-per-view in terms of what we're usually accustomed to. So, it was enjoyable. It was nice, but also different, which is, I guess, different is nice.
Yeah, and before we get to Jersey's opinion, I believe I heard a rumor that Vince, until they get back to normality, he wants to go with shorter pay-per-views. I don't know the validity behind that, but I mean, that would be definitely,
we'll see what happens.
I think we could all appreciate a little shortened with the amount of content we get per week from WWE. Sometimes less is better. So
if
we don't get a 4-hour pay-per-view once a month on top of the, 9 hours of content during the week or whatever, I think it could be good for the company.
Good for the brand.
We're good for the brand. Yeah, exactly. We're all about the brand here. Jersey, what are your thoughts?
I mean, personally, I've been saying this for a while. I think the shows are too long. I mean, what I thought was really special about NXT, and I'll get right to Money in the Bank, is that NXT was an hour, right? Mm-hmm. You had everything put into one single hour, the storylines, the character building, the wrestling. It just was 1 hour. It was clean. It was crisp. It was fast, and it was engaging. And when you were ready, it was done. And it was like perfect, right? It's like, oh, I can't wait for next week. So when these pay-per-views now, when you start adding in the 1 hour pre-show, the 4 hour, wrestling event, it's like, it's a lot in one sitting.
Yeah.
So I was kind of happy that it was a little bit shorter. I wasn't against it. I thought that it had enough momentum to kind of carry through the night. Not many kind of dry spots throughout the whole show. Like Tom said before, I thought, McIntyre Rollins stole the show for me. I thought that match was fantastic. And tremendous. The Money in the Bank match, again, was it wow? But was it entertaining enough where they try to give you something to at least differentiate it from other matches of the night, which I think was the whole purpose of putting it at the headquarters? Yes. You got the good surprises, the cool interactions, Vince McMahon, so on and so forth. Surprise winners, I think, on both ends. Not that Asuka is not a surprise, but just wasn't expected. And Otis was a complete, unexpected.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I'd give it a 3.7 out of 5 stars.
Let's give Styles a little credit too on that fumble. That was tremendous.
Yeah,
that looked so good.
That looked so legitimate. I almost believed that it wasn't supposed to happen.
Yeah.
Just my initial thoughts. I think I had fun watching it. You can only say it so many times for what they're given the circumstances right now, right? I mean, they gave us some sort of content. And I think that Otis winning is fresh, but going forward, what are they going to – I'm worried, like, for him, right? Like, I don't know if I see him as a viable champion whenever – even if he cashes in a year from now. Like, he's definitely the hottest guy, like, one of the hotter, like, talents right now. He's over – even with fans not there, the reception he's getting on Twitter and all that stuff, I think that he – as a champion just isn't like what I see for him. I was like, we've talked about it. I hope like maybe he can cash in like for tag team titles with Tucky, but like, I don't know if that's, I honestly don't think that's going to happen. I just think that option is a little shaky to me, but I'm all for it. All for change, all for something different. Maybe he won't cash in successfully. Who knows? But like you guys said, I don't want to harp on it too much. That Drew Seth match needs to be done in front of fans. I can't wait till that happens again, because that them two together in the ring was magic, and like I got feels for it, like with no crowd reaction. So I can only imagine it being in front of fans. So I think 3.7 is a great star rating for that show. Not that we hand out star ratings too much here, but I think it's spot on.
One pay-per-view, everyone knows the rules, right?
Yeah, right. We've talked about it briefly, the whole revival thing showing up on the Being the Elite last week or 2 weeks ago. It popped up again, and now it looks like the just from like posts on Instagram, there maybe EC3 tweeted it out, or one of the guys from the revival tweeted it out, that, and he tagged in like Drake Maverick, EC3, and the other, I think it was like Dash tagged Dawson, whoever, I forget that. I'm getting mixed up with like their name changes and stuff. People are like feeling that it may be all for them as the revolt going into AEW. Nick Noodles, what do you, are you cool with like a faction of like XWE guys going in and like, we don't know what's going to happen, but like maybe like doing like an NWO style faction.
Yeah. I love that shit, man. I'm a huge fan of factions. I just love when they can, put a collection of talented guys together where they can actually all promote each other and elevate each other to different levels. You can create multiple stars at the same time. And anytime you have a dominant faction, it really can set the direction of a company in a whole new light and a whole new direction. And I'm always excited for stuff like that. Every faction that I've ever seen that I've always enjoyed, even like ones like Sanity and stuff like that. Like I love that stuff. So
very short lived.
But anything NWO somewhat related it doesn't get any better than that. So
yeah, you can't beat it. It's still speculation. I don't even know if that's even like a factual thing, but I would assume like going into it, they would kind of not represent like themselves as XWE guys, but like some sort of faction in a sense. That would be pretty cool. Jersey,
it's got my support.
Yeah, absolutely. Me too. Jersey, what are your thoughts?
I mean, if you think about the talent that you have right there. You know, we all have watched NXT with the, when the Revival was doing their thing at their hottest level, and they were absolutely one of the top tag teams going at the time. And then when you kind of look back to EC3 and Rockstar Spud back in their Impact days, I mean, I thought that's when they were flourishing the most, when they were those characters. Now, I understand WWE do not take their character over here, but at the same time, you know, you kind of did it with AJ Styles, the Phenomenal One. You know, you did it with kind of Samoa Joe. So you have taken, you know, talent that was created elsewhere and brought it kind of here. So
yeah.
I think there's a slight missed opportunity with Spud and EC3. And to be honest, you know, EC3 is the big guy. You know, Spud is like that really little Eric Bischoff type guy. You know, the Revival is a great tag team, and they also work well as individuals, and they talk well on the mic, I think. So I'm all for it, and I'm kind of actually hoping for it for the four of them.
Yeah, me too. Tom, what do you got, bud?
Yeah, definitely, you know, hoping it turns out the way we think it might turn out, you know, being like a faction going there and everything. I definitely see EC3 maybe as the possible leader of the group. I mean, the dude's got the look. He can talk. Drake or Rockstar, whatever you want to call him at this point, you know, he could be like the mouthpiece manager here and there, and have a Revival or Revolt as like the tag team, like enforcers of the group and stuff. And like, it'd be cool. You know, it'd be very cool if they show up at Double or Nothing in a couple of weeks. I mean, that'd be pretty cool to see, you know, them like be the invaders, you know, how NWO was and whatnot.
I think the Revival are the only ones that don't have the 90-day no compete clause. So I think you could start off maybe like them two come in first, right? Get the heat on the Young Bucks or some on tag team like that, and like piece in like EC3 and then Drake, because I know I'm pretty sure EC3 and Drake have to wait the 90 days like a lot of the other guys. Again, it's all online dirt sheets, so I don't really know how true it is, but I believe the Revival are the only ones that get taken away from that 90 day no compete clause.
Okay,
but I agree. I think showing up sooner than later, or maybe some, try to surprise us, right? It's hard to get shock value these days with the internet, so any shock value is good. If they showed up at Double or Nothing with no reports of it, I'd be pretty intrigued. All right, so we got a new segment here debuting this week. Bad news from Bad News Canale.
I'm afraid I've got some bad news.
What do we got, Tom?
Oh, well, it's a doozy of a story, I'll tell you that. Former WWE champion Alberto Del Rio was arrested for sexual assault against a woman he was seeing that accused him of cheating. He accused her of cheating on him, and he just... The story is just unbelievably horrible, and if it's true, I mean, he supposedly was, like, smacking her around. He threatened to take her kid and throw him in the middle of the road somewhere, and then he just proceeded to, like, you know, do some really bad shit to this poor woman. And if it's true, man, then this guy seriously needs to be put away for a long, long time. It's just absolutely horrible. So that's the bad news of the week.
All right, and
I'm afraid I got some bad news.
That guy is such Del Rio is such a scumbag.
I don't like laughing at certain things. They're just the unreality of this situation. This guy is like never, ever since he left WWE, there's never been like any positives about him from that have come out. I don't even know if I want to go round table. I think we all have the same reaction to this, but Jersey, yeah, what do you got, man?
Don't even discuss this guy.
I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. I mean, he abused mentally and physically Paige, right?
Oh, yeah.
I think this is his MO, unfortunately. So he's just a bad guy. On for our debut segment for Tom Bad News Canale, I'm afraid I got some bad news for you, Del Rio. You're going behind the slammer.
Yeah. Actually, I think from what I just read, he may have gotten released probably on bail, if I had to guess.
Yeah, $50,000. I read that too.
So
where did this happen, guys? Did anyone know? Like
in Texas.
In Texas?
No. Yeah.
I was going to say Florida.
Yeah.
Everything crazy happens down there.
Don't they have an open conceal down there? Go shoot that motherfucker, please.
Yeah, please.
He should be black.
Actually, I don't know if we can actually say those things on the show.
Of course we can.
Of course we can. Freedom of speech, buddy. It's an art. Yeah. Damn right. Yeah. All right. So he should be blackballed from any wrestling event going forward. I think he had a possibility of coming back to WWE at some point just to get like that last run in, but
yeah, that's
not anymore.
I still can't believe when he had a comeback there. I think maybe it was second time around when he beat Cena clean to open up a pay-per-view for couldn't believe it. Stunning.
Yeah, it was
that Cena would lay down for that for a guy like
and
that.
And even like he hit the little enziguri. That's all he hit, if I remember correctly. He just popped him in the back.
That was a sad day in wrestling when that happened.
Unfortunate. Tom, thank you for that. I mean, I don't know if I want to thank you for the bad news, but I appreciate the debut segment.
Where's the mallet, Tommy? Bang the mallet.
Yeah.
Gotta get you a mallet, buddy. Maybe I'll add in some audio there with the mallet.
Okay.
They announced this like maybe the day, Thursday or Wednesday.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Yeah, a couple days before Friday, that Sami Zayn can not currently compete. And there will be a tournament for the IC title starting this week. Yesterday was Friday, so the first two matches happened. Bryan went over Gulak, and Elias went over Corbin. The remaining two matches are Shinsuke Nakamura versus AJ Styles and Jeff Hardy versus Sheamus. I mean, Sami Zayn has joined the Twitter trolls and started making accusations that he didn't agree to this, blah, blah. I think he's playing his character on Twitter, as he usually does. And now people are led to believe that he's going to be leaving the company. So let's just take that with a grain of salt. I forgot where we left off, but I'll just start off with Jersey tournament. I'm a big fan of tournaments. IC title needs to have some representation. You can't just sit at home and not defend the title. What do you think about the tournament? Who do you got going forward? We already got two of the matches. Where's your head at with this?
I mean, honestly, I think it's good, right? Because we're kind of in a situation where we have mid-carders and we have top guys, but we kind of can't tell the two, right? Now, I know that the IC title isn't supposed to be the quote-unquote the mid-card title, but let's be honest, you know, it is. And with that being said, we need a champion, right? We need a champion so it can be chased and we can actually have storylines built around it. I think the guys they chose for this was really good. We were talking in our group chat yesterday. I went with AJ Styles winning the whole thing. I'm still going with that, even with Corbin being my pick to go over Elias, but I am happy that Elias went over Corbin. I'm still picking AJ Styles to kind of win this whole thing. Walk with Elias. You know, I think it's good, right? Because you need to differentiate because, you know, who are your mid-card guys? Who are your top guys? We don't know. Roman Reigns not around. You know, The Fiend, you know, I know Bray Wyatt went after Braun Strowman at Money in the Bank. You know, Otis now has the briefcase, but I kind of don't know where to follow and what to think. So to be honest, I'm all for it. I love tournaments. It reminds me of like, you know, a little King of the Ring style tournament with a nice title at the end.
Yeah, I agree. And I think just before we get to Tom, I want to mention last night that Cole and Graves both harped on the history of the IC title and how it could launch whoever the champion is to the next level. So they kind of, I truly believe they veered away from that in recent title runs where like, back in the day, if you were the IC champ, like normally after that, you would be going up for the World Heavyweight Championship. So maybe there's a plan for that, like maybe start rehashing that type of build for a competitor where, all right, so you have AJ winning. I'm hoping for maybe like an Elias to get a chance at like maybe finally getting some gold if you have maybe not the 24/7 champion, but some sort of legitimate gold and then pushing him up to a higher level. Tom, what do you got, buddy?
Yeah, I think AJ is going to win it because last night they were saying, you know, it's the only title he hasn't won here and everything. So, but I mean, his first round against Nakamura, that's what a match. I mean, that's unbelievable.
Yeah, I think they've given us pretty good first round matches so far. So, yeah, I agree.
And like you're saying, maybe, who knows, maybe it could be like how it was back in the day where you win that title, then you go into the big picture. Like, look what it did for Stone Cold, Bret Hart. Those guys all back in the day.
Maybe. And they had brought them up last night, too. So it's an interesting thought. I like that, though. Noodles, what do you got, buddy?
Yeah, I'm all for the tournament. I love the tournament, just like you, Joe. And I also agree, and I like the point that you brought up where back in the day when you won the IC title, it was kind of like putting you on the map to where you were beginning your journey and your ascension up into the big time players of maybe winning a world title. So, you know, anytime that you can bring legitimacy to a title, but also elevate other wrestlers at the same time, it'd be great to bring that prestige back to the IC title. And having a guy like Styles win it, for sure, that he can, you know, finally win that belt he hasn't won yet, can also be able to put another guy over somewhere down the line to be able to elevate that guy up into another stratosphere. Because Styles don't need any gold to be the best in the world.
Nah, you don't. You don't have to when you're him, bro. He's purely phenomenal.
Yeah.
Great takes, boys. All right, so we got a return from Edge Norton on Monday. Pretty interesting. I was wondering where they were going to go with that segment too. So it was rather entertaining, the back and forth between the two. Orton basically revealing that Edge was the better man, but now is challenging him to a quote-unquote wrestling match at Backlash. So just a plain straight one-fall match. Backlash, for them two, I mean, it'll help, definitely help the views on the pay-per-view. Tom, where do you see this going? At maybe, I don't know, you have to predict the match, but like, is it going to further their feud, end it there? How do you feel about this?
Well, it's going to be interesting to see, because Edge hasn't been in a typical wrestling match almost a decade.
Yeah. You know?
So I'm curious to see how he looks and everything. But I think they keep this going probably to SummerSlam. You know, maybe they finish it off with another type of match and everything. But I'm really curious to see where they're going to go with this. And to see him back as a, you know, in a wrestling match, it's going to be pretty cool. So I'm looking forward to seeing it.
I agree. Sorry, I muted there for a second. I was trying to mute out the chimes in the background. Noodles, what do you got, buddy? Sorry, man.
Nah, I'm a, you know, obviously love Edge. Glad that he's back. Always excited for any time there's a, you know, a singles match, and for someone to step up to the plate and do something they haven't done in it. You know, as Tom was saying, like almost a decade, which is pretty crazy to believe he's been gone that long. But it's always really cool to have that feud, especially with two great wrestlers such as Edge and Orton. And I don't think it stops here. I think it's just going to be a continuous build up to a huge payoff, and hopefully that's in front of people.
Yeah, you would hope so, right? Mm. Nick Jersey.
I mean, you know, watching them at WrestleMania was really nostalgic, right? Seeing Edge back for the first time in a long time. A guy that didn't have a choice to go out. He wanted to go out on his own. You know, he wants to be able to go out on his own terms. So when it's decided for you, that's always obviously a tough, you know, tough pill to swallow. See him back was great. But to be honest, I was kind of hoping that this would kind of continue and they'd kind of fight again in an actual wrestling match.
Yeah.
So when I actually saw this coming together live on Monday, I was like, this is what I've been wanting. I want to see, because when I remember Edge's matches, man, I mean, those matches were just top notch. And he was such a great wrestler, and he was such an exciting, you know, exciting character to kind of follow through his builds. Multiple champion, one of the most decorated champions. I actually think during his documentary, they said he's the most decorated champion currently right now with all his titles that he's won over the years. So I am all for this. More Edge, please.
Arguably the greatest of all time. Am I right?
Arguments can be made.
I mean, I'm pretty biased. He's my favorite wrestler of all time.
No shame in that, Joe.
No. I mean, just like you said, more Edge is what I want. You can't go wrong with them two. Orton's, like everyone says, natural talent, one of the best in-ring performers of all time.
No question.
Them two together, I like you said, I want to see an actual wrestling match together. I want to see what Edge still has to offer in an actual match. So, and I believe, I'm fully confident that he can pull it off. Yeah, I don't think it ends here. Like you said, SummerSlam would probably be the payoff for, I don't know if Edge would be done after that or we don't know how long he plans on staying in the company for. So I'm really.
Wasn't a multi-year contract he signed just with like lesser dates?
That's
what I heard too. That's what I heard.
Yeah, I heard it's a multi-year contract with lesser dates. Like, you know, he'll do this run and then he'll go away and then maybe the conclusion will be at SummerSlam. I have to think, unfortunately, I think Orton might go over so Edge can chase him to SummerSlam. But
yeah. Hey. So great segue right there. Speaking of contract extensions, we got this news brought to us late last night from Tom Canale here with some good news, surprisingly.
your segment is bad news.
Dude, good news. Stop breaking kayfabe. Per, I think it was WrestlingInc.com, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah, so pretty reliable source. We've got news from them. Undertaker signed a 15-year extension. Fuck. What? I'm assuming it had a non-active 15-year extension.
I hope so. I hope he's not wrestling in his 70s.
Pretty cool for him. I mean, Taker's, he's a lifer, dude. I mean, the longevity. I was thinking about this the other day, and I don't want to talk about it too much, but just I've been watching back, like I mentioned, from like 96, 97 going forward, and just seeing him around then and what the impact he had on the industry then, I think it's hard not to consider him. Like, he's working his way into my Mount Rushmore of what he's did for, like, this industry. And his, I think when you look at, like, all right, ability in the ring, character, gimmick, whatever, then longevity has to be a part of that too. This guy stayed with this one company for, I know he was in WCW and other companies before that, but not as the Undertaker. The Undertaker character has stood the test of time, whether the multiple changes he's done with his character and the longevity with one company and the loyalty. I mean, dude, all aspects of a pro wrestler, he is a pro, like the pro wrestler. I would consider him that. So I'm glad he's sticking around for another 15 years, whether or not it's going to be in ring, out of ring, buying out the, I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm pretty stoked for him. Noodles, I mean, you can't really say much bad about The Undertaker, right?
No, I love The Undertaker. We all love The Undertaker. Most importantly, as you know, he's the ultimate professional, right? I mean, yeah. He's probably one, if not top three of most respected wrestlers to ever do it, right? He was the locker room leader for all these years. You wanted approval, you had to get it from Undertaker. You had to earn your stripes through Undertaker. And I couldn't be more happy and excited for him to have a nice 15-year extension for him. You know, obviously we know he's not going to be wrestling for 15 years, but it's a way to keep the character intact, to keep the legacy alive, and they can constantly just have generations continue to build off the Undertaker and all the amazing evolutions of his character throughout the years. And he's earned that right. We deserve to respect that. And hopefully he has one good, great WrestleMania match left for his final send off. And, you know, he'll make his appearances and still bring that aura everywhere he goes.
Yeah, I agree. Jersey, what do you got, buddy?
I mean, I think this one was taken out of the Mets playbook, right? You know, when you sign a contract like 15 years, the first thing I think about is Bobby Bonilla, right? So Bobby Bonilla's contract ends in 2035, which is the same year that The Undertaker's contract's going
to
end.
Now that's going to be the same. That's going to be the same year we're going to get an invite to your house.
It might be. It might be. But that you know, no, I'm just all jokes aside, obviously. I got to take a shot at the Mets.
No, of course you do.
No.
Sorry, Dave. I mean, go ahead. Do your thing.
No, it makes sense, right? The Undertaker's a lifer. And I don't want to see The Undertaker at any of these, you know, other, I guess, wrestling event, you know, signings or stuff like that. I want him. He's a WWE guy to me. Like, he's a lifer to me. He looks like he belongs there. I don't want to see him anywhere else. For me to kind of feel like that's secured now for life makes perfect sense. He's done it all, right? He's been that one character that never needed the title to make him. And that's a big thing to say, right? Because a lot of characters sometimes need the title. He's one of those special ones who don't. Yep. And I think that kind of says a lot for the body of work and the character of who he is and what he does. He's had his title runs, but he's never been known for that. And that character, I mean, it's legendary. I mean, if you don't know who The Undertaker is, I mean, who are you?
Yeah, who the f- are you?
It's the greatest gimmick of all time, right? I mean, they say it's by far.
I couldn't agree with you more.
Vince's greatest creation.
I think in the dictionary, if you want to define a professional wrestler, it should just be The Undertaker.
Without a doubt.
That's what it is, if to become a professional wrestler. And like, Jersey, I want to harp on what you said. I wouldn't want to see him get to the point where he's like doing wrestle cons and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I want him at Access only. WWE events. That's it. I know he was going to do like one of the Starcast, the things they do with AEW. He was getting mad money for it, which I'm glad he would. But like, I don't want him to see him anywhere else with WWF, and that's being selfish. Or WWE, that's being selfish. But I don't care what everyone says.
Or the big event.
Or the big event, please, right? God.
So 2035. It's a long ways away, but at that time, Undertaker's contract will be done, and Bobby Bonilla will not be being paid by the Mets anymore. So that's going
to
be
might
a good
be able
year.
To sign a free agent.
Hey, you can only hope.
Good news, Canale. What do you got?
I mean, what's there left to say about him? I mean, dude's been a legend for forever, in my opinion. I mean, from the first time I saw him at Survivor Series to now, I mean, I still get choked up seeing him. I mean, it just grew up with him. I mean, greatest character ever, really. I mean, if you watch The Last Ride on the network, I mean, it's one of the greatest things I've ever seen, how all the wrestlers love him. Like, you don't hear a bad thing about him. and everything. The dude's just a legend. That's all you can say, really.
Yeah, he's an absolute legend. Nothing but respect for the big man.
He deserves it.
Absolutely. All right, so before we get into the Thirst Trap of the Week, our most highly rated segment of the show, I just want to hit quick on a AEW little topic here. They got the TNT Championship Tournament coming to a head at Double or Nothing between Cody and Lance Archer. Mike Tyson will be presenting the championship at the event. I mean, is there really much to say? I don't really know. Tom, what do you got, buddy?
I mean, Vince can't be happy about that. Let's just say that. I mean, you know, I have another WWE Hall of Famer on an AEW pay-per-view. So, I mean, really curious to see what they're going to do with him after this, if they sign him to, like, different things and everything. But I don't know. It's going to be interesting. Say that.
Noodles.
Oh, man, I'm a big Iron Mike guy, so I love anything to do with Mike Tyson, especially the fact that if you've been paying attention to what he's been doing lately and the shape that he's gotten himself in and what his aspirations are to getting back into a little boxing and raising money for charities and all that. But it's just a typical AEW move, right, to try to get under Vince's skin and take another guy. So it can keep the rivalry going a little bit. So, yeah, we'll see how that plays off, but I'm excited for it.
They keep poking at the monster. I don't know, man.
Poking the bear, bro. Eventually the bear wakes up. So I'm excited.
Yeah. We want that, though, right? We want them to get a little angry.
Competition is cash, right? Controversy is cash.
It's happened once before, and look what happened. So, Jersey, what do you got?
I mean, listen, Tony Khan has money, right? At the end of the day, you got money. You got money to burn. You got money to spend. Why not, man? If you got it, bring him in. You know, try to elevate the product. I mean, the Mike Tyson time when he was, between the, DX and Stone Cold, when it was a Shawn Michaels Stone Cold match back at WrestleMania. I mean, that was awesome having him involved in there. Obviously, he looked a little bit out of place, but he was at the peak of his career. And like Nick was saying, he's making a huge comeback now. So it's kind of a win-win for both parties, right? Tyson gets on TV, he gets, recognition. And at the same time, it kind of brings a little bit of star power to AEW, which they can use. It is funny that it is Mike Tyson of all people, right? Because they seem to always be kind of taking someone or something from WWE at some point. But, I mean, WWE hasn't really acknowledged them that much. So I guess they just don't feel like it's anything that really, is worth their time at this point. So I say, you know what? Keep it doing, keep it coming, keep doing it. And keep trying to get the attention of WWE, so and hopefully that we get a better product on both ends.
Yeah, 100%. I think we can talk a whole episode in the AEW WWE rivalry and all the stupidity behind the fans and all that jabroni shit. Tyson going, I think it's just random to me. I want to see Tyson on TV again. I miss the guy, and like Nick said, the stuff he's getting into right now, the guy's in tip top shape for his age. Getting challenged to million-dollar fights left and right, so
and he'll still knock your head right off your shoulder.
Yeah, absolutely.
He'll kill you. Absolutely.
So we'll see what happens with that. Maybe he'll get physically involved like he did with Austin and Michaels. I don't know. It'll be interesting though.
Remember when he knocked out HBK after WrestleMania 14?
Yeah, that was right? Amazing.
Devastating. It was awesome.
All right, so usually we like to save the segment for the end of the episode. Hopefully, there is no one listening at this point that will get offended by this. I can't reiterate it enough. Thirst Trap is not an offending statement. It's a glorifying statement. We love these women that we talk about.
We want to promote them, and they deserve
promote
to be.
Them. Yeah,
they're angels.
I go into this segment every. We talk about. We have a vote in the group chat who's going to make it, and I truthfully forget every week. I'm just going to try to remember what we said because I already forgot Kayla was it last week. So my memory is just shot. I believe Thirst Trap of the Week is Mandy Rose.
Yep.
Okay, great. All right. So congratulations,
but Mandy. It was close.
It was close. Kayla was getting some, she wanted some double champ votes.
Fire this week for sure. Yeah,
she was fire. Maybe it'll carry over to next week and she'll be the double champ.
First time ever.
Yeah. So shout out to Mandy Rose. I mean, you're killing it on all platforms, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, whatever you got to do. And then last night on SmackDown, woof. Holy Jesus. Just God bless you, Mandy Rose, for being the goddess that you are. We could say a reincarnation of Trish Stratus. I think we could all agree on that.
Yeah, I mean, she's God's greatest creation. Yeah. So,
Jersey.
And she's a good wrestler, too, man. She's actually come a long way in her wrestling game, too, on top of all the other amazing intangibles she has.
Yeah, so she's overall great, a great woman to represent the Thirst Trap of the Week. I mean, she, the stuff she posts is just phenomenal. I mean, it's borderline, it's borderline bannable for Instagram. So, and you guys want to go round table on this? I think we could all just agree on that. God bless Mandy Rose.
Yeah, yeah, just don't stop. Don't stop what you're doing. All right, just keep it up. Thank you for what you're doing during this time. You know, these are, these should be celebrated as another type of hero, not like our frontline heroes, but just as a, as like the next level of heroes that we need to get us through this time. So
arguably just as important. Just kidding.
Controversy. I get it.
Tommy, I know you're a big fan.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, especially after how SmackDown ended last night with her and Otis. I mean, she just looks freaking amazing as always. So yeah,
God bless hugging that sweaty fucking monster after
I know
match. Love it. Doodles, end it off, buddy.
Legends get remembered, but goddesses never die. My God, he's the greatest.
Well said.
I think we can end it on that note.
Love you, Mandy.
Love you, Mandy. Appreciate you. Boys, week four is in the books. I mean, we're rolling here. Almost at 100 downloads. Thank you for that. You can find us on iTunes and Spotify now. Remember that. I got to drop the plugs in the beginning of the show. WrestleBuzz is our creator. Our over umbrella, as you would say. Find us on Instagram at WrestleBuzz, Twitter WrestleBuzz with 3 Z's, and just, you know, download, subscribe, and join us on this journey as wrestling fans. We want to give you the best content possible, especially during these hard times. We are the Wrestling Journal, and we are out.
Have a good one, everybody.
Take care,
everyone. Enjoy your weekend.
See you.